We have liftoff. Talk about having a technical problems this morning. I went to print off my notes, and my printer had run out of ink. And with everything else, it seems to be one of those mornings. Well, morning church, bless you. I pray that God's going to really speak to us this morning and work in our hearts, and that we'd have open hearts to hear what he says as he calls us to be church. So as we've already seen demonstrated, we're going to be exploring what it is to be part of the body of Christ this morning, both as individuals and as a church. And Paul helps us to understand this better by looking at what it is to be church in the context of the human body, as we've had shown in Lily this morning. And but in order to that, it says in, I want to read a little bit in Romans, where it talks about how we are to act. So in Romans 12, it says, "For as in one body we are many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ accordingly to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teaching in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness." I don't think you can get quite enough cheerfulness in church these days. So this reading is to remind us of how we should function. And I guess the question for us this morning is, if we were to have a health check today, if our body was to have a health check, would we get the all clear? As Christians, we're called not to behave or think like the world does, in which was read before in the Corinthian reading. In fact, Paul says, don't conform to this world's values. In other words, don't be squeezed into its mold. But we're to be transformed with a renewed mind so that we will know his good and pleasing will. The world looks for affirmation in the wrong places. We might ask ourselves, how am I doing? What are people thinking about me? What will people say if I do that? Do other people like me? However, we are called to live in the security of who we are in Christ. It's in our belief in who we are with him. There was a lovely story I heard a little while ago about when Mother Teresa was on tour in Australia, and a young student was asked to be her, I call him chaperone if you like, for the time that she was in Australia, and he would get her from A to B and make sure that she was there on time and met with the right people. And he was really excited and really privileged about this. However, as time went on, he began to see that he was going to have no time to be alone with her by himself. And this was really frustrating for him. And so he said to her on the day before he left, Mother Teresa was going on to another talk in San Diego, and he said to her, "Mother Teresa, if I was to buy a plane ticket, could I sit beside you on the plane to San Diego and share with you your experiences and learn from you?" She was a bit bemused about this, and she looked at him and she said, "You could do that?" And he said, "Yes." And she said, "Young man, if you can do that, give that money to the poor, you'll learn far more and experience far more than ever I could share with you." And I guess that story is telling us that as Christians, we're continually challenged in our thinking, in the way that we think about experiences and how we can get experiences. But we're after knowing God's perfect will for us through him, not through others. Church is not a place where we fly solo or where I come to do my own thing. It's not about how the church might meet my need or what the church might give me. It's about how we as a team might serve one another and the world. And if we're functioning at that level, we're called to, then surely we're a force to be reckoned with. And why do I say that? Because if we're living a renewed life, then we're all functioning with different gifts and different strengths. We're more effective working together in unity than we are singularly. If you're significant in this moment, today, then it's probably because of the body. Experts tell us that people who are successful in the workplace, 85% of those people, their major strengths are due to their interpersonal relationships. And I guess that's the same with church. But it's worth pointing out here that we all have individual identities. We've all walked different journeys through life. We have different experiences, come from different backgrounds. And we're called to respect those differences and honor them. Why are we called to do that? Because Paul tells us the Holy Spirit unites us. And those differences make us a good fit together. We're a bit like a jigsaw puzzle. We come with different parts, but God has put us together to fit together. And this happens when our minds are transformed in Him. Our strength is in our unity. And whereas in that reading in Corinthians, Paul warns us about the danger of thinking of ourselves too highly and evaluating our successes and achievements in the eyes of the world, we can conversely think too little of ourselves. And in the same light, comparing ourselves with others, end up feeling of little value within the church. And both these positions make us ineffective and detract from our usefulness. Every one of us here this morning has been given a gift. A gift that the whole body, that the church needs. I wonder how many of you here today really believe that? That you have been given a gift or gifts? The gift you hold isn't just for you. It's for you to use in the body. If you cop out, have a week off, can't be bothered, so fed up with hearing how Sally always wants help in the coffee shop, then that affects us all. Do you know that you alone are the only person on this earth who can use that gift you've been given? That's a sobering thought, isn't it? The gift you've been given, you alone are the only person on this earth who can use it. There isn't a backup plan. You're it. I'm not saying here that we have to be the answer to every need within our church. But what I'm saying is try to recognize your gifting. Believe today that you have the power to make a difference in the life of somebody else, in church or out of the church. And if you hold on to that gift and don't use it, don't reach out, another will be the poorer because of it. And the truth is, church, that we were born to show God's glory to others. That's what you were born for, to show God's glory to others. I wonder if you've experienced the incredible power unleashed when you simply reach out and bless another person. If you've never tried it, do so today and watch God work through you. When we choose indifference or give way to helplessness, we collude in an atmosphere of despair, and we add to that. I dare you to be different. Don't go with the flow. Go against the grain. Make your life be more of an adventure. Don't feel that you have to wait till a great tomb drops from heaven on your head, which tells you who to speak to and what to say. We're all going to miss out in that case. When we meet together, when you walk the streets, ask God, is there somebody here that needs a word from him? Something that you could do? Someone that you need to say to? You know, the other day I was standing in Tesco's, and I can't think what I was, there was a lady in front of me, and we were in a long queue. And this lady started talking to me. I had no idea who she was. And she said to me, she ended up by saying, I think somebody up there doesn't like us. And, you know, that's the wrong thing to say to me. And I said to her, do you know what? I said, he's so on your side. He's so for you. Never think that. All you have to do is open yourself to him. That woman did not expect that answer. She kind of looked away and buried herself in her shopping. So she didn't have to say anything else, hear anything else being said to her. But actually, don't look for those opportunities, and God will give you those words. Do you know, if I was going to have titled this talk today, I might have called it, Everybody is Somebody in the Body of Christ. Whilst nobody can do everything, everybody can do something. That might have been a long title. You know, our potential is God's gift to us. What we do with that is our gift to him. I'm going to say that again. Our potential is God's gift to us. What we do with it, church, is our gift to him. And there's going to come a day when we're going to have to account for what we did with that gift. And I guess there's a sense that we all know that. But it's kind of hard to carry eternity into our hearts, isn't it? So we might put this another way and say that Jesus has invested something in us, whether big or small, whatever it is. But whatever it is, we need to do it faithfully. If it's making teas or coffees or just being at the door or whatever, I'm not saying just being at the door or being at the door, then we need to do that and do it faithfully. But he knows and understands what weak, feeble people we are. And so he says, you don't even have to do it alone. Not only I'm with you, but I'll put you in with a body. I'll put you in with a family who will support you. Even when he puts us alongside those we feel slightly uncomfortable with, people that we wouldn't naturally move alongside, it's often in that discomfort that we grow. It's often then that those corners in our life are rubbed off. Sorry, I'm just going to have to look here. I hope this came out in order, Sally. Hold on, Sally very kindly printed this for me, and my pages were numbered, and that doesn't look right. But just give me a minute. Okay. I apologize for this. Okay. So Paul is telling us that there is nobody here. Paul is saying that there is nobody here that is better than another, and telling us and warning us not to put ourselves or others up on a pedestal. But it feels like today we live in a time where we've got our priorities slightly skewed and the wrong way round. As a society, we make our heroes those who earn lots of money. We reward those who can kick a ball, whatever shape, more than the day-to-day workers who work day in, day out, on the work front face, on the front line of life. We're ready to dehumanize the marginalized. We live in a time where the world loves its celebrities, and the poor are lost from view. This is why the church is called to act as a body, that we might make a difference together and corporately. If not us, then who? I think of the food banks. Just as the human body functions together under the direction of the brain, so we come to work together to work under the direction and the authority of Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that we are to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. So if we think about the analogy of the human body and how it functions with all its different parts, we can understand that our gifts align themselves in the same way when the church is being effective. And if a rather insignificantly seeming part is taken away, the whole body is less effective. We had a demonstration this morning about the toe, about the foot. And you know, none of us would say our little toe was a major part of our body. But boy, slam it into a door and the whole body goes into crisis. Even your brain tells you to dance up and down. Your body doesn't say, oh, little toe, you're far too insignificant to me to worry about what's going on for you today. No, every member of your body, as Paul writes, is suffering. What's our response when someone in our body suffers? We're told that we have the power to behave in love and bring healing to the body. Verse 15 in Romans 12 tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Your life should affect my life. My life should affect your life. Too often these days we are apathetic towards those who weep, all those who suffer. But we are called to be involved with the lives of others. I don't know if the thought has come to any of you, but today as I stand here, I feel a bit like a visual aid. You know, it was only up to a couple of months ago, just 2 months, just about 8-9 weeks, that I was walking with a stick, and for 3 years I had limped terribly, been in pain. And my body, because of my arthritic hip, was completely thrown out of, I walked, my whole body was thrown out of kilter. I visualized everything through pain, and my body was kind of over that way or over that way. It's great to be standing up straight before you today. In other words, I wasn't living up to my full potential. I now know what it's like, again, to be as I was created to be. Wow, you know, a few itches and bumps a few places. I wonder if you've ever looked on TV or seen some of those men and women who are bodybuilders. You might think, beauty or beast, I'm not going into that. But in order to have those figures, they have to exercise every part of their body. It's no point just looking at their biceps and saying, you know what, I'm just going to work on these in order to achieve the figure I want. No, they have to eat, drink, work every part of their body, probably physically and mentally. In our reading of Corinthians, we see that some of the gifts that we are given to the body, we read that they're teachers, leaders, miracle workers, apostles, prophets, and those who give generously, and those who give in acts of kindness, those who encourage. And if you're thinking this morning, I don't know if I could do any of those, then the challenge is, why not try? How do you know this morning when the plea comes out, we need more children's workers, that you couldn't do it if you haven't tried? How do you know talking to the young mums in the coffee shops in the morning isn't your thing if you've never tried? None of us know what we can do, what we're capable of, until we are put on the spot. We often compare ourselves, thinking that we wouldn't be quite as good as another. It's not about, actually, it's not about being the best in church. It's about doing your best for us to function and doing it with his help. As I was preparing this talk over the week, I began to see how really blessed we are in TBC. We have so many skilled people working effectively with their gifting in so many areas of church. And I bet if I was to ask them individually, did you always believe you could do that? Did you always think that you were fit for that? I can imagine the answer. But because of their gifting, it's not enough for us to be let off. We also have to do our part. You know, there's no place in the body for one eye to say to the other, gosh, I'm really tired today. I've been up all night. I'm just going to stay shut. You've got one. That's enough. The body will damage itself by walking into things, might even miss or neglect important things, things that are not quite seen. Or for the foot to say, no one's looking after me, I'm feeling very sore and neglected, so I'm just going to stop here and rest. You've got another one, make do. The whole body is halted and delayed. So too, church. So we're left with the picture to be all that God calls us to be in the context of church. We see our power is in its unity, our strength in its togetherness. And if we're to reach out and make a difference and change the lives of the world out there, then our goal is to be working as a body with Christ at its head. Let's pray before Graham comes back and maybe the musicians come back and we have that song. So, Father, we just come to you this morning and we're so grateful to be called into this body of yours. We're so grateful that each one of us is given a part to play. Lord, I pray that you would remind us individually and corporately, Father, when we are copping out or when we're not taking part. Father, I pray that you'd speak into our hearts that we might hear you and know what you would have us do. Father, thank you that you have called us to act as one, to be as one in this place where we live. Thank you, Father, that you empower us to go out there and change lives, that you empower us to speak a word in season. So, Father, whether we're eye, foot, hand, whatever you call us to be, Lord, we want to take up that role and do it faithfully. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Graham.